Good morning. So good to see all of you today. My name is Dawn. I serve as one of the pastors here. If I haven't met you yet, welcome. Today we're talking about a really exciting topic about pain. So just take a moment, take that in. We've had great worship this morning, and now we're going to just shift into this topic of pain. This topic today came out of part of our preparation for our trip. Many of our team just got back from Uganda, Africa, in which we served with an organization called A Perfect Injustice. And they are a ministry there that works with traumatized girls. They're building a school. They have a school for traumatized girls, and also working within the city to help in crisis situations and help find homes for kids that are living on the street. And so in anticipation of that, we were just kind of thinking about what would we need to be processing when we got back, and just thinking about all of these stories of pain that we heard about going into this ministry in Uganda. Just how does that work with our faith? How do we process that within our faith? And even in our team, as we were preparing to go to Uganda, we had lots of conversations about, okay, we're going to see some hard things. How are we going to handle that? And it was beautiful just to have that time together. For those of you who are curious about the trip, last Sunday I shared some pictures and kind of what we did. If you want to check that out, it will be online. And Pastor Caleb also shared a little message with us about why we as a church family even do things like go and serve in Uganda. But as I was thinking about this message today, thinking about API and the work there, and I just have to say, there were a lot of hard stories, but there were a lot of beautiful stories. The Ugandan people, as I shared last week, are beautiful, resilient, Jesus-loving people, and it was amazing to see their stories. And in my American brain, it was often hard to reconcile the understanding of their passion and their love and their hospitality, but also living in a mud hut. It was complicated. So as I was prepping for this message, a story that kept coming to my mind is the story of the Holocaust. Since I was a kid, I've been fascinated by the stories from the Holocaust of Jewish people who survived and those people who helped the Jewish people survive. It's mind-blowing to me, just the risk that these these people took to either save their own lives or save other lives. And that constant, that hospitality of realizing we're all in this together. And one of the stories that comes to mind is Corrie ten Boom. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. It's a book I read as a teenager. She tells a story of she was one of the people who helped hide Jews in her house. There's a picture of a hole in the wall in her house where she hid the Jews and helped them to survive for as long as she could until her and her sister were taken to a concentration camp. And throughout her experience, she just talks again and again about how God was there with her. Which is just amazing to me because she's living in this space of just compact people together, people not even being treated as people, people living in dirt, people living in with bugs and just grossness and not having proper facilities, different things like that. The story is unbelievable, unimaginable to me, but it's one of those stories that is closest to maybe our history that we can really connect with. And so, but there's one point in her story that just blows my mind, is she is thanking God for the fleas that have taken over their compound. And for me personally, I don't know about you, but I would not be thanking God for fleas. But her point was that because of the fleas, none of the SS soldiers would come into their compound. And during that time, she was able to continually share the hope of Jesus, the love of God in that situation. Just amazing, her perspective to see in such dire, desperate circumstances, this small gift of God in that situation. It just blows my mind. It's still even really hard for me to wrap my mind around. But I'm hoping as we kind of we talk through today, we might see some ways that God has, as we are becoming people who follow Jesus, how God has implanted this understanding within us. But one thing that I read continuously about the concentration camps and in other situations that are just devastating is that again and again, the story we hear is that once someone has lost all hopelessness, all hope, they go into a deep despair. They're hopeless. And a lot of times that's when they die in the situation. They no longer have that hope to keep going. And so one of Corey's focuses as she was in the concentration camp was to keep that hope alive in her mates as well. And so as we look into that, we know that God has wired us this way. God has wired us to need hope in order to survive. But how do we do that when we're in these painful circumstances? So today we're going to talk about how do we keep that faith, that hope in the midst of pain. And now I just want to make a point. Sometimes in the church, sometimes just in society, we can minimize pain. We can compare pain. And so many of us won't experience the type of pain that Corrie Ten Boom went through. Some of ours might be easier, in quotes. Some of it might be worse. But there are all different types of pain, and we all experience it differently. There's physical pain, there's mental pain, there's emotional pain, there's social pain of oppressive and religious and political regimes that create a society that is painful. There's global pain. We all experience that in the pandemic and in our various ways that we responded to that. So I want to just make sure we realize that there are various levels of pain. And we all respond to pain differently. And to be really honest, when I was talking with the team this week, I was like having this meltdown of like, I don't want to talk about this today. This is a really hard topic. It can be the church, if you've been a part of the church, sometimes we can be so Pollyannish about pain. We want to skip over the pain and we want to focus on how good God is or how God has delivered something or how God has healed something. And we don't want to sit in the realization that pain is painful. It causes suffering. And sometimes in our triteness, we can paint God as incompetent or petty or even sadistic. And so I've been praying all week that I don't come off that way. As we talk about this today, please know that I believe your pain is real, whether it's small, whether it's big, that pain is there, and it's true, and I don't think God calls us to dismiss it and pretend like it's not there. I don't think we serve the world well, or we serve our God by pretending like it doesn't exist. And so if I do in any way come across that way today, I would encourage you, please, come and talk to me. Help me to learn how to be a better communicator as I share the goodness of God, even in spite of our darkest times. So as we dig in, we notice that just like now, I said if you've been in the church for a while, you know that sometimes we've picked verses out of scripture to help us get over our pain or move on or not have to sit in it for very long. And yet the same thing was happening in Jesus' time. In fact, in Jesus' time, just like it is now, there would be people in places of power that would use pain in order to gain more power, in order to have more control over people. And see, when Jesus came, Jesus said, nope, this is not the kind of people God has called us to be. God has called us to be real people. See, in the kingdom of this world, we don't want to deal with pain. We don't want to sit in pain. We don't want to experience pain. But the kingdom of God people welcomes it in a sense, not in a ooh, give me all the pain kind of way, but in a way of what's happening here. This is an opportunity. So in order to become kingdom of God people who know how to experience pain and continue to hold on to our faith in the midst of pain, we need to kind of realize some of our defaults. And I've mentioned some of them already. One is we like to avoid pain at all costs, or at least I do. Anybody else? Right? So even the good kind of pain, like, you know if I exercise, it's going to be hurting, but it's going to be for my good. But every single morning, I wake up and I convince myself that that is absolutely not worth it. Right? even shots, you know, we tell our kids, hey, you know, this is going to be for your good. I know it's going to hurt, but it's going to be worth it in the end. And they're kind of looking at you like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And even still as adults, let me tell you how often I avoid those shots as much as possible. Right, we avoid pain. But in John 16, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Jesus says, pain is inevitable. It is part of this world. And we as followers of Jesus know all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, this starts with what we call the fall. God created humans in this beautiful garden. Everything's provided for them. There's no pain. There's no suffering. They have everything they need. And yet, as true of us all humans, just like Pastor Danny sang in that song, there was this moment where they thought, is my trusting in you, God, actually going to lead to my demise? Am I going to miss out on something? Is there something I'm not going to get because I'm trusting you in all that you provide? And we call that the fall. And since then, every human does it. We're constantly in this state of trying to decide, okay, do I trust God or is there something better available for me? And you know what I love as I was studying today, this time, and I was just praying and asking God about this whole concept, I realized God's not angry that we take those moments and we struggle to trust him. Like, as a human, if I've provided something for someone, and I've been in these situations where I've given everything I possibly could give and the person still walks away, as a human, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with you. But God's not angry. But God knows the path that we're choosing is going to be harder. And so there's a compassion there. There's a love there. And a continual pursuing, trying to get us back on the right path. But the inevitable truth is that in this natural world, the natural law is that it includes pain and suffering. We're in a broken world. And so our first awareness as a kingdom of God, agent, follower of Jesus, is that pain is inevitable. If we can realize that pain is inevitable, we can be more able to be present in pain instead of constantly trying to avoid it. In this broken world, pain is inevitable. Our next question that we often ask, our default is, okay, fine, I got to deal with pain, but I want to know who's responsible. Who do I hold accountable for the fact that I'm dealing with pain or this world is dealing with pain? How do we find out who this evil person is and so that we can do what? What do we want to do to this evil person? Right? We want to avoid pain at all costs. So if we get rid of this person, whoever caused this pain, then we can avoid pain. But not true. Because why? Because pain in this world is inevitable. Right? So we want to know who is responsible. In fact, Jesus' time, they were in the same boat. There's a story in John 9 of Jesus and the blind man. The man was born blind. And the disciples who have been following Jesus all this time ask, hey, Jesus, whose fault is this? Is it the parents' fault? Did they sin and that's why this child was born with blindness? Or is it the child's fault? And Jesus kind of looks at them. He's like, it's nobody's fault. In essence, saying, in this broken world, pain is inevitable, right? See, there would always be someone who could pay for the pain if we lived in a just world. But we don't live in a just world. And I think we think that if we can could do something about it, if we can, we could fight it, we can dispute it, we can make it right, that gives us a sense of control, doesn't it? This week, Abby from A Perfect Injustice, she sent us an email and she shared a story. At the end of our trip, several of our team members had spending money left over, and so they donated to API. We had some petty cash from DSBC that we donated, and she sent this letter and said, I just want you to know what God did with those funds. She said the next day they got a call from Kampala. They're in Chivale. Kampala is the capital city. The next day they got a call from the city officials there saying, we've got these two kids that were arrested. They've been living on the streets. Come to find out, the kids were coming to the capital to maybe find a better life and ended up getting trafficked. And so then they get arrested because they were because of how they were behaving in the streets. And so they called David and Abby of A Perfect Injustice, and David and Abby worked to find family members for these two boys to come back to. and to live with. And because of the funds that we were able to donate, Abby found these homes for these boys and was able to give these families mattresses and food and clothing, because now they have a whole nother mouth to feed. And many of these families are already struggling to feed the children that they have. And so just amazing how God puts these stories together. Here's some pictures that she sent us of these boys who were trafficked and then their new homes and the supplies that they were able to get for them. But as we're talking about this story, and it's a wonderful to say, oh, look how God provided. Look how God had this money and these funds and these families available for these boys. Look how great that is. And sometimes that's how we as Christians can come off as Pollyannish. But really, coming back to the story of, does it matter? Sometimes we want to say, does it matter when we think about what happened that these boys were trafficked in the first place? Is this story of how God worked, why these boys went through this experience? Like, does that feel good? No, it doesn't. The story of the Holocaust. Yeah, there's amazing stories that have come out of there of how people's lives were, how they met Jesus and they have changed their lives in amazing ways. But does that make the Holocaust good and okay? I think another realization we as Kingdom of God people is that there is no good reason for pain. There's no acceptable answer. Even Jesus answered the disciples about the blind man. And Jesus said, you know, neither this was about his parents or about him sinning. It was so that the acts of God may be revealed through what happens to this man. But even that, it's like, that's wonderful, but that doesn't feel good, does it? Like, if we're honest, there's no really good, acceptable answer to the pain and suffering. And so as Kingdom of God people, just realizing that seeking this answer to who is responsible, why am I going through this? Trusting God, there is a reason, maybe. But is there ever a good enough reason? Think about that for a minute. And God knows this. In fact, continuing in the story of Jesus and the blind man, he says in the Message translation, I love it because sometimes in the Message translation, it's just how we would say things. It translates Jesus saying, you know what? You're asking the wrong question. Pain is inevitable in this world. The answer of why it happens is never going to be a good enough reason. You're never going to say, oh, okay, I'll go. That makes sense. We'll keep going. No, if we can avoid it, we're going to avoid it, right? Remember human nature? And God knows this. God's like, Jesus is like, that's not the right question. And we'll keep going. We'll find out what the right question is. So then what? Then we go into our scripture. It's actually printed in your handout today. If you do not have a Bible and would like one, we do have some on the back tables there for you. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 11. If you're online, we are in the Christian Standard Bible. You can just go to Bible.com and look up this scripture. Knowing again that pain is inevitable, and there really is no good, acceptable answer that's going to make us okay with pain and suffering in this world, Paul writes this to remind us. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction, through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will also share in the comfort. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. Now, this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth and explaining what's been going on with him. He says, we were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength so that we even despaired of life itself. Can you relate to Paul? Have you ever been to that place where you're so despaired, you think death is my only answer? Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us again. We have put on our hope in him that he will deliver us again. While you join us in helping us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of the many. In this scripture, there's a word that keeps coming up again and again. When we're dealing with our suffering and our pain, what are we seeking? What is that word that maybe you heard? I think about 10 or 11 times. Say it again. Comfort. Comfort. That's the question that we're asking. If we know that pain is inevitable and we know that there's no good answer for the pain that will give us that peace within us, but we're seeking comfort in that pain, aren't we? And the scripture shares a lot about how God provides that comfort. In fact, I love this, in digging in the Greek, explaining what does this word mean. We, in our English language, sometimes we'll use a word to mean a lot of different things, one word. But in the Greek, the word that is used is described as walking alongside another for encouragement and support. The comfort that God is providing is walking alongside you. He's not afraid of your pain and suffering. He's not going to give you a nice pat on the back and say, oh, I hope everything works out, but I'm out of here. God's walking alongside us in our pain, offering encouragement and support. In fact, in verse 3, it literally says at the end here, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All comfort is from God. Any comfort you receive, that's the core of who God is comfort, providing comfort for us. Isn't that just amazing? And as we talked about earlier, where God is all comfort, where we talked about earlier that Paul was sharing, they were resigned to death. They were in such despair. But then they remembered, in their desire and need for comfort, they had were sentenced to death, but then they remembered, as they're thinking of this hopelessness, wait a minute, the God we follow raises the dead. And now, I don't believe in Paul's statement that he was actually at that time sentenced to death. There's other points in his life where he was, but he was talking more of this just hopelessness of like, I have done everything I can, and yet this stuff keeps coming and coming and coming. Have you ever felt that way where you just feel like everything is out to get you? And again, Paul is saying, I'm done. This must be my death sentence. And yet then he remembers God is the God who raises the dead. He remembers and is reminded that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then in that, we are told in scripture, because God raised Jesus from the dead, God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And do you know what the name of the Holy Spirit is in scripture? Anybody guess? Paracletes, which is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit, literally because of Jesus, dwells within us, is literally comfort dwelling within us. We have access as followers of Jesus of that comfort constantly within us, even though there are times when it doesn't feel that way, even when we're carrying such heavy things. I know some of your stories in this room. I know you're carrying hard things, whether it be physical or emotional or family or even in our society, the political situations that are going on. I know you're carrying hard things, and it feels like I can't access this comfort. And actually, next week, we're going to continue this conversation and talk more about how we access that comfort, what Jesus calls us to do in our pain in more practical ways. But for now, remember that the God of comfort dwells within you. And then as we remember that God is the God of all comfort, we know that through our pain, we start to see that God is shaping us as kingdom people. Because the kingdom of God is here, but not fully here yet. And as the kingdom of God, its entire purpose is to make wrong things right again. And as followers of Jesus, we are agents of that kingdom of God. But we are born in this broken world. And so in this broken world, we start out functioning as the world would function. We avoid pain at all costs. We don't want to sit with people in their pain. We don't want to comfort others. But as agents of God's in the kingdom of this world, we are called to be agents of that comfort. It's interesting because God reminds us through our pain that we are not able, we are not in control. We want to have this illusion that we can control the pain, that we can hold people responsible for the pain, but that control is gone. And as Kingdom of God people, we are reminded that it is God who is in control. If we are reminded that as God is in control, Corrie ten Boom has this great quote that says, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." Right? Because again and again, as humans, we're going to be in those hard situations and we're going to do everything we can to control that situation. And in Corrie ten Boom's situation, she was at a point where she had absolutely no control. In fact, she was literally not treated as a human anymore. The only thing that held her up was Christ. But we don't learn that naturally. It's not easy to learn. In fact, remember all the way back to the fall, we keep wondering, if I trust you, God, completely, is this going to go the way I want it to go? Probably not. And it's hard to believe that even though it's not going to go the way I want it to go, it might be better for me. In fact, God promises it will be better for me. And that is what Corrie ten Boom learned as she's in the concentration camp. That the best thing for her is to have Christ and Christ alone. So in our scripture, and I didn't get it back on the screen, but if you want to look on your papers, in verses 4 and 5, we're reminded again that God is making us kingdom people. In verses 4 and 5, it says that he comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are any kind of affliction. Have you ever been with someone who you're telling them something you're struggling with and you know they have no clue, but they're giving you advice and they're telling you how you should handle this problem? Anybody been there? Yeah. It kind of feels ridiculous, doesn't it? Part of you, maybe if you're like me, like anger starts to rise up. And I'm just like, what are you even talking to me about? And God knows that. So God is saying, as part of your shaping as kingdom of God people, you are comforted by me in your affliction so that you can comfort others in their affliction. Through the comfort we ourselves receive from God, for just as the suffering of Christ overflows to us, we also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. Now again, back to my statement of there's no good reason for pain. There might be this moment when you're feeling good right now of like, I don't think I want to go through pain so that I can overflow comfort to other people. That does not sound like a good plan to me. But knowing when we are in that pain, and maybe when we're on the end of that pain, that there is a good purpose for it, that pain could be used to comfort others. That pain is used in the kingdom of God in order to make wrong things right again. When someone who doesn't know that they can have access to the God of all comfort, and you come along and you can provide that conduit for the Holy Spirit to provide comfort for that person, that's life-changing. That's world-changing. God is shaping us into kingdom of God agents to be his comfort in this world. When we get back to the blind man, like I said earlier, the John 9, the message, Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question, not who is responsible, but you're looking for someone to blame. And there's no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Next week, as we're talking more about how we practically kind of live this out in our lives, I'll share a story of Johnny Erickson Tata, who was disabled just in her prime, in her late teens, and a severe disability. And she tells a story about how in that time in her life, she was trying to figure out how she was fitting God into her life, because she had all these dreams and all these plans. And then this happened. And she has hard stories. She has hard pain. She has hard things, and she does not hide those hard things. But she says, the difference happened that after this accident, I started thinking about, okay, how do I fit into God's story? God's doing something here. How do I fit into there? But again, our natural temptation is to say, okay, I've got this life. I've got these things figured out. I'm in control. How do I bring God into it? And our pain and our suffering reminds us that that idea of our own control is an illusion. And so we'll hear more about her story next week. So as we wrap up, just want to remind you again, God's comfort doesn't end with just our benefit, but to become God's agents in extending comfort in the world. That's why we participate with organizations here in Phoenix that are providing food for kids, that are helping people, those who are experiencing homelessness. That's why we support foster care. That's why we provide free funerals, because those are the things that Kingdom of God agents do. Those are the kind of people God is shaping us to be, in spite of our pain and suffering, but also because of our pain and suffering. We are able to give that gift and make things that are wrong here in this world right again. I'm trying to decide if I wanted to share the story if I have time, but there's this really logical story, a concept here in this book called Where is God When It Hurts, is one of the books I've been reading this week. There's also another one called The Problem of Pain with C.S. Lewis. Talks a lot more about these concepts. It's such a good book. But there's this idea of, just to consider one more time, if there was no pain and suffering in this world, oftentimes as Christians we're like, okay, God, I belong to you. Why am I suffering? I'm doing everything you've told me to do. Why do we deal with this pain? And there's this great story in here that talks about what if our world didn't have pain and suffering? Suppose the world were a paradise from which all possibility of pain and suffering were excluded. The consequences would be very far-reaching. For example, no one would ever injure anyone else. The murderer's knife would turn to paper, or his bullets to thin air. The bank safe, robbed of $1 million, would miraculously become filled with another $1 million. Fraud, deceit, conspiracy, treason would somehow always leave the fabric of society undamaged. How many votes for that kind of world? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah, let's do that. There's always a but. Hold on. He says, but courage and fortitude would have no point in an environment in which there is, by definition, no danger or difficulty. Generosity, kindness, the agape aspect of love, prudence, unselfishness, and all other ethical notions which presuppose life in a stable environment could not even be formed. Consequently, such a world, however well it might promote pleasure, would be very ill-adapt for the development of moral qualities of human personality. In relation to this purpose, it would be the worst of all possible worlds. Again, I don't read this to say this Pollyannish idea of we should embrace suffering because it's making us these Kingdom of God agents. But the truth is, we do have suffering, and it is making us into Kingdom of God agents. And we wrestle with that, and we pray about that, and we ask God to reveal that to us and to support others and provide comfort through that. Let's pray. God, again, I come before you again saying this is such a hard topic. In our logical brains, it doesn't fit well. It's not easy. I pray that as we ponder these things today, and as we, many of us in this room, are sitting in just painful situations, whether it be in our mind, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, or even just dealing with the bigness of the pains in this world, but not that we would ask the question of whose fault is it or how are you going to fix this, but God, how are you working in my life in this? How do I see you in the midst of this? Help me to see and recognize maybe in this moment you're just showing up as fleas, a small bug, or maybe in another way you're healing completely. But God, we know our greatest need is to be in your presence, to feel your comfort. And I pray that as we are comforted by you, that we, as Kingdom of God people, continue to provide comfort to others. And this is all possible because of Jesus. In your name, amen. As we're wrapping up, I know we've talked about some hard things, some big things. I've asked a handful of people if they would be available to pray at the end of the service. And so they'll just come up here at the end of the service and be at the bottom of the stairs. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we would be more than happy and honored to do that. But then also a reminder that we are continuing our Fiesta Sunday. And so in the Student Center, which is the building closest to Tatum, we will be serving free tacos. So use this as an opportunity to get some good tacos, but also maybe meet somebody new. Thank you, and we will see you guys next week.